Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who like to talk about media and knit. This is our podcast, While We Were Knitting.
This week we watched Puera Magi Madoka Magica, which is generally otherwise called Madoka. This series is an anime that follows the adventures of Madoka, an otherwise ordinary middle schooler. One day, she and her friend Sayaka meet a talking animal named Kyubey, and they are offered the responsibility of becoming magical girls or transforming heroines who fight evil witches in exchange for one wish each. She and Sayaka are taken in by a more experienced magical girl named Mami so that they can learn the ropes before they make their choice. But they soon discover that there are much darker things afoot.
So this month, while we were watching, I knit the, I'm going to say Heli, I don't know, Heli by Tina Kuhn, and the Houndstooth Check Mittens by Sarah H. Arnold.
And I continued knitting the Honey Cowl by Antonia Shankland.
Monica, I ended up because you were very kind and you were like, let me set it up for you so that you, a person who does not speak Japanese, can watch the dubbed version. And I watched it through initially just on the dubbed version. And then I know you had said like, oh, the subbed version is much better. And I actually
I could not listen to the dubbed version. I could not.
very fair. I actually went back and I listened to two of the episodes of the subbed version just to be like, what is this particular experience like? And it is better. Like it is much better. I will say that the two patterns that I was working on had some color work. So when I was doing the first, I was initially going to watch three versions of the subbed version, but the color work piece that I was on, I was like, I can't do this with subtitles. So I was glad to have experienced the subtitles, but I was like, no, I did actually for this case need the dubbed. So it has been a while since I have consumed, I think, an entire anime. Cynthia had us watch one like a couple years back, but I haven't regularly watched anime for probably about 15 years-ish. So it
I
was
was
interesting to
curious
see.
about that. If
Yeah.
what your because obviously like I have been an anime consumer since I was a small child. Like I grew up with transforming magical girl anime. So for me, many of the beats of the story, many of the tropes of the story, and we can go into them, are like were like very, very familiar. So I was very curious what it would look like for someone who is not sort of steeped in those tropes.
Yeah, no, when I was watching and reading more anime and reading a lot of manga, it was more on like the yaoi side of things. So I am not as steeped in the magical girl side. So there were some times where I could tell, like, oh, you're responding to or subverting something that if you I was familiar with this particular part of the anime genre, like I would understand what you're responding to. But it wasn't necessarily something that I could say, like, oh, you're referencing like anime X or anime Y. So that was a little weird. I will say, so there was two things about this series that unfortunately, like really, I kept bouncing very hard off of. And one of them, I was like, this is an interesting choice, but I'm just, it's just not for me. It's not working for me. And it was whenever they went and fought the witches, the art style just went wild. It changed
Oh,
from one
yeah.
part where it was like, oh, you're like, literally, this is Guernica. You have Picasso's Guernica on the floor. And I thought it was a very interesting choice. And like aesthetically, I was like, I can see why you're doing this to emphasize they're in this weird, unworldly place. But I hated those art styles.
They were meant to be very jarring, and they really were.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's something that happens every episode. So at least once an episode, I'd be like, God, I hate this. So like on an intellectual level, I appreciated what they were doing. And on an aesthetic level, I was like, I don't like that. But I was like, this is not wrong. I was like, this, or it's not bad. It's just not for me personally. And then there was another thing where I'm like, no, I actually feel pretty disturbed by this. And it was that when they were doing the opening credits, and I was initially watching on my Roku, so it didn't give me the option to like skip the opening and closing credits.
I don't
They,
think on Crunchyroll you actually have the option on anything.
God, thwarted in all ways. But there's this one cutscene where they're like, again, these are middle schoolers. They're both clearly naked, and you watch their legs intertwine and their boobs touch each other. And I'm like, this is upsetting and weird, and I don't like it. And that happened every opening and closing. And I'm like, again, these are like 12, 13 years old. And the way that you're cutting the like scenes and the focus in is very sexualized, and I didn't enjoy that. And that also happened every episode. So I was like, these two things that I don't like, one for reasons where it's just personal, and one where I'm like, no, this feels weird, kept happening to me. And that was difficult.
I shouldn't find it funny because I've never actually thought about it, but that whole idea of like when the girls transform, they like look completely naked and they entwine is something that happens in pretty much every magical girl anime.
I think it was less that they looked naked because I was like, I have seen an episode of Sailor Moon. Like I know what a transformation
Oh
sequence
yes.
looks
Yeah.
like.
But
It's
it was
just,
because they were squished together.
yeah, it's like, oh,
Yeah.
they're,
No,
yeah.
it didn't even occur to me, though, to be honest, I fast forward through most of those opening sequences because obviously it's the same one every damn
It is
time.
the same one
So
every damn time. And if I was not trying to juggle my knitting, I would have also tried to been doing that. But I was like, all right, well. And they kept happening. That was, I think, the problem. Just like once,
yes,
okay,
I
get
can
over
see
it.
why that would be very insistent for sure.
So, but there were a lot of things that it did that I actually really found interesting and really enjoyed. Like, I really like the beats of the story they set up, where they start out in what feels like, oh yeah, you're a teenager and you're like given all these powers and now you're like becoming a grown-up and you have to fight evil and you're like, oh, this is like a very straight take on this at the beginning. And I was watching it with my friend Cynthia. She did spoil me a little bit that the magical girls turn out not to be so great. But
Great.
like, but I was like kind of aware. I was like, Kyuubi is evil. Yeah, his mouth never moves. That's real creepy. That little creepy thing over there. But like, you know, it still worked, even having that kind of higher plot point spoiled. I was like, the points that you're hitting in the storyline and what you're doing is very effective in terms of like, this is who these characters are. These are the beats that we're going to hit in our 25-minute episodes, which are short, very short episodes. We are still going to hit all of these important character beats. We have just kind of distilled the story down to the very bare bones. And I did
Yes,
appreciate
we are
that.
going to end the world in 12 episodes, 10 episodes, something like that. Yes. This giant witch is going to swallow the entire of the world in 10 episodes. Yep.
Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburgish not yet.
Yes, Wolfsburg
It's
is not.
funny, I can say that one in Japanese. I'm not actually sure how it's supposed to be pronounced in German.
There were a lot of things where I was like, oh gosh, we're going to be talking on this with podcast. And just preemptively, I should apologize to everybody for how I'm going to say some words. But on top, I'm so sorry to everybody who speaks Japanese. It's just, I'm going to try and sit much. I'm going to try my best. But yeah, I thought the storylines worked. I thought the emotions worked. I thought the plot points worked and like how they did all that world building really worked. And I was like, okay, this works.
I'm glad it was the length that it was. It needed to be a short series. Like they could have really dragged it out, but I'm glad that they didn't because it made the drama of it and like the tragedy of it. It's a horrible story.
Oh yeah.
It really made the drama of it hit that much harder. Like I was not forewarned the first time I watched it. Now, I watched it with someone who had seen it and who had very specifically made a point not to spoil me. And then in that third episode where spoiler alert, mommy gets her head bitten off by a witch. Like I turned around and I looked at him and he was looking at me and like smirking and I'm like, oh, you asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when they're like, oh no, we're doing a thing. And I would imagine that if you're like going in not realizing that they're doing a thing, you're like, what just happened?
The whole magical girl genre has some very specific beats. The girl is like the main heroine is always super, super ordinary. Normally she's a little annoying. Madoka is not, which I appreciate. For the most part, she really is not really very annoying. Her friends are annoying, but
Oh
she is
yeah,
not.
no, they are.
Yeah. Like she comes from like a perfectly ordinary nuclear family who is completely oblivious to all of this that is going on. You know, she is like there's this cute, fuzzy, magical creature that offers them these powers, and no one really thinks about why. It just kind of is what it is, except in this situation, there is a why, and it's horrible. There's always someone who's super gung-ho about fighting for justice. Poor Sayaka. Yeah, that poor girl.
Her is
There's like
like
a tragic person who is stuck in the hospital with a completely unknowable illness.
That was okay. That was the only like plot point where I was like, this is not doing it for me because they was like, it's such a tragedy that he's stuck in this bed and he'll never play again. And I'm like, Like, I mean, it is a tragedy in that it's sad, but like, if you're like, I'm gonna destroy my life and maybe get killed over it, I'm like, I don't think you need to do that. I think, in fact, he will continue to live his life and he will be fine. And so, whenever she's like, I'm doing it for him, I'm just like, he's nothing. Why are you doing it for him? Nothing about this boy has given me any indication that you should. So.
Well, and it's something that is something that they mention, right? They're like, if you're going to use your wish, don't use it for someone else because it never goes right. And well, there you go. It did not. But yeah.
No, I found him uncompelling. I don't know if the show wanted me to find him compelling, but I was like, I'm not compelled.
I don't think anyone found him compelling, except maybe Sayaka.
God bless her.
God bless that poor child. Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that I thought was really interesting, and I don't know if that's part of subversion or part of the trope, but whenever Homura was like, you have a good life. You don't want to ruin it. And Madoka was like, yeah, I do actually have a really good life. I really appreciated that, like, everyone really recognized, like, this is a girl who has it very good. Like, everything in her life is great, and she doesn't really want to ruin it. So it's harder for Hubie to be like, make a wish, because it's like, what am I wishing for? Like, my life is pretty good.
Well, like when they have the discussion, she's like, oh yeah, but well, before that they realize there's actually consequences to being a magical girl, and they're like, oh yes, you can just wish that everyone can have cake. And this is, of course, before they know that, well, no, magical girls actually die, and worse, in fact. Yeah. Were you surprised by the plot twist that the
I
magical girls are
was.
actually the witches?
Yes, that I did not realize ahead of time. I think I realized it like 5 minutes before they said it. And then I was like, oh my God, they become the witches. But like it wasn't immediately obvious to me at the beginning. And it's really funny because once you think about the words, and I don't know how the translation works in Japanese, but like magical girl and witch do mean the same thing. Like there's different versions of the same concept. And I was like, oh, that works really well.
So in Japanese, it's actually a perfect translation because magical girl, or maho shoujo, literally means magical girl. The word for witch is magic woman.
Wow, it's
Yeah, it's
even
majo.
better. Oh my God. Yeah, no, that's very good. That's very good. And I mean, when QB was talking about like the people who have the most feelings are teenage girls, I was like, correct. Correct. Having been a teenage girl, there were many feelings.
And he's like, oh yes, the sort of horrible thing is that the whole like entropy thing, the amount of energy just like generated by a teenage girl's fall into despair, you're like, yeah, that actually makes a really terrible kind of sense.
Yeah, it makes story logic. You're like, oh yeah, if emotions make energy, a fall into despair by somebody who had a lot of emotion is a lot of energy. And you're like, yeah. When they did that, like, travel back in time, and they were like, oh, look at all these magical girls of the past. And I was like, okay, you're egging the custard a wee bit, but like, I do think this is an effective storytelling mechanism. And it also gives you a reason when Madoka at the end decides, like, to make her wish. To say, instead of being like, I wish there were never any magical girls, to say, I wish the magical girls disappeared instead of becoming
Becoming
witches.
witches. Yeah,
So that gives you a loophole to be like, we don't have to invent an entirely different culture if we ever decide to do a sequel, or I think they did some movies. And I'm like, yeah.
they're basically scenes of the series clipped together.
It's my understanding there's a third one that has new material because Cynthia was like Googling it afterwards.
And I think and there's also a new series
Yes.
as well about a different girl. Yeah.
Sure. I was just like,
But
what? You've already done the girl. Like, what else are you going to tell me?
yeah, I don't know. It's also called Madoka. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that's going to go. I will watch it at some point. So Magical Girl series were very much on the decline for a while. The like I mean, you've seen an episode of Sailor Moon. The whole
Sure.
point of it is a whole female friendship thing.
Sure.
That's the whole, that's a, sort of the cornerstone of the Sailor Moon story. But it's female friendship. but with like very silly plot lines for the most part and fairly silly villains. And there's never really any risk, you know. You might get knocked on your butt, but no one ever gets injured, no one ever gets killed. And that's sort of the theme of them. They were marketed towards young girls, like elementary and middle school girls, which is why Madoka's characters are middle school girls. Now, middle school is a little bit different in Japan. So you're still in middle school at 16. But, you know,
He's
that
12.
was it's supposed to be like a young audience. Madoka came out like 20 years after Sailor Moon. It came out in the like mid, I think in 2010. And it was the first one that was really supposed to be marketed towards adult audiences. And so you recognize that they're middle schoolers because all magical girls are middle
As one does.
schoolers. Yes, as one does. But it was the first one that was basically trying to take the genre into something that was a little bit more mature, rather than being something that was really meant to be for kids. Like I grew up watching Sailor Moon when I was a young child, you know. So for me, seeing Madoka like as an adult, I was like, oh, what is happening? And it's even in the small things, like the fact that in her house, it is very clearly her mother who is the bread earner. You know, she's the boss of that household. You know, her dad is the one who takes care of her little brother and does all the cooking and gets mom to bed when mom is drunk. You know, so yes, the sort of twist around of the tropes was what made it was very shocking when it came out. And because of that, it was very critically acclaimed. But since then, there have been other, you know, magical girl animes that sort of approach the idea of, oh, what is risk in this situation? Or what is death? What is the price of power? But this one was really the first one. So for a lot of reasons, I do think it has held up well over time. I do.
No, I think it works because, you know, I don't have that same sort of background, but having existed in life in the 90s, I have seen a Sailor Moon and I can tell like what it's trying to be in conversation with. And I thought it was very clever to be like, okay, giving these constraints and given this world building of what is typical in a magical girl anime, how would this actually work? Like, if you assumed that, you know, we're not in some land where there aren't real consequences and there's kind of a lot of hand waving about how this all works, like what would actually work this way? How would it work? Why would it work? What's happening? And I did think that was really compelling and really interesting, even if I wasn't as familiar with some of the tropes.
That was, I think, one of the reasons why I wanted you to watch it, because yes, it's different when you're steeped in it. And I was curious about whether or not like sort of that storytelling cascade would follow for someone who wasn't. And I'm sort of pleased that it did.
No, I can definitely tell that they're doing a thing, even if I don't have as intimate a knowledge. And I actually really liked, I think my favorite part, and that was actually the part that I end up going back and watching a couple of episodes subbed, was the last three episodes when Homura is doing like the Groundhog Day. I love a Groundhog Day situation where somebody has to repeat time again and again trying to get it right. And it's like, this is my jam. Tell me more about how she's trying to like save this girl and she keeps failing, but she loves her. So she keeps trying and refuses to give in to despair.
Oh, it's so awful though,
Oh,
man.
yeah,
Like
no, this is a
every
brutal
each
series.
one of her deaths is so bad, and you're like, oh God.
No, it's a very brutal series, but I was
Yes.
like, I love a Groundhog Day. I also loved that it was that love that made Madoka so powerful. She's like a well-to-do girl, but like she's just kind of normal. She's
Yeah. And
a
everyone
normal
noticed
girl.
that. She's like, all right.
She's like, yeah, I am very normal. And everyone's like, correct. But except for Hubie, he's like, you're so powerful. And eventually he's like, oh, it's because Homura is out of her mind, obsessed with you, and
Yes,
has
has
like,
dedicated her entire existence to making sure you survive.
and is like constantly like doing weird things to the timeline in order to try and make that happen. So I was like, oh, that's very satisfying from, again, their perspective of like, why would this ordinary person becomes so extraordinary, and the answer is through power of feelings and love.
Yes. It is one of those where, you know, there was a lot of discussion when it first came out. They're like, you know, is this a yuri series? Is this a like a non-explicit female love series? And I mean,
Yes.
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 Like you're like that.
Yes.
This is not friendship that is bringing
No.
you to do this. It
No.
is really not. She may call you your very best friend, but no, that's
No.
not what this is. Yeah.
The fact that there's discussion about this is baffling to me. Like, oh, this isn't about two tiny lesbians who have really big feelings. I'm like, no, this is clearly a series about lesbians with big feelings. Like,
I
I
mean,
understand
there
why I
yes, like
watched.
everyone in this series is a lesbian with a
Yeah.
big feeling. And they unfortunately in the, kill your gays trope, they'll do all kind of end up
Yes.
dying for it. But
Some of them get resurrected, but correct.
that's
They
true.
do. They
Yes,
do. Yeah.
yes.
But I was like,
And
yeah.
Madoka exists everywhere, I guess. So yeah.
Madoka is like God, omnipresent.
Yes,
So.
yes. But yes, no, it is definitely a two tiny lesbian series, and I love that you put it that way.
No, I was thinking about, and spoilers for the title, but I was like, what is the title of this podcast? I'm like, Tiny Lesbians, Big Feelings. That's the title of our podcast.
I
Yeah. Because,
love
like, even, gosh, I'm blanking on her name, but the magical girl who shows up, Kyoko, who
Kyoko,
shows
yeah.
up is like clearly like, she's like, I don't like you at all, Seika. And then it's like, no, I will
Oh yeah, no, the
sacrifice my
enemies
life
to
for
lovers
you.
there. It's great. It's great. I don't like you, but you know what? I'm gonna die in your arms.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how that works when you
Yes.
quote unquote don't like somebody.
Yes, you don't like someone, you
Sure.
beat them up a couple of times, and then you sacrifice yourself for them. Yes,
Sure.
exactly. That is
Sure.
what happens. Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy a lot of the like very classical, like very pretty, like flowy like lines, and like the, I really liked the soul eggs. That was like a really fun
Oh,
little
yeah.
piece of
Mm-hmm.
design. And it was also very visually easy for you as a viewer to be like, oh, like they're falling into the darkness and becoming a witch because you could see the change in color in the soul egg without the anime having to explicitly tell you they're falling into darkness and becoming a witch. It's like, no, I can just see that.
The anime describes the girls as essentially like walking corpses because their souls were in the egg. I was like, oof, I don't know how I feel about that, but I
I
can
was
see
like,
where
they were
you're
like,
going
I'm a
with it.
walking corpse. And I'm like, I don't think you are. Like, I don't think that's accurate. You seem very upset about this. And I
Yes.
don't know if I agree that you should be upset because she's like,
Yeah. No, she was really the one who was the most upset about it.
yeah.
No one else, everyone else, well, I guess everyone else who was a magical girl, they were like, well, I guess this is the way it is. And you could totally see why Kyubey was not understanding why she was
No.
so bothered.
I'm like, I can understand being bothered, but the fact she's like, I must cut myself off from him because I'm a corpse. I'm like, well, you're clearly not a corpse because then you would smell bad. So you're just an animatronic robot being piloted by a soul. And you know
Yes.
what? My dream is to not have to feed myself or have to like sleep or like worry about like being cold. So I'm like, honestly, this sounds like the dream. Sign me up. How do I become a soul animating an animatronic body? Want it
Yes.
for me.
Yes.
So.
Admittedly, the fact that you can accidentally like toss yourself over a bridge and then your animatronic body like flops onto the floor, also not great.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, but she was like level of upset about those. I was
Yes.
like, okay, well.
It was very teenage girl feeling though. So I
Yeah,
was like, you know
definitely.
what? I do not understand from a self perspective why
Sure.
you are pissed, but I believe it from your perspective because you have really felt all of your feelings this whole way through. It was very in character.
So many feelings. Listen, I was an insane teenage girl. And when you frame it like that, like you're feeling insane about this because you don't know how to deal with it. I'm like, yeah, fair. I also was insane about many things that looking back, I'm like, why were you upset about that? So I think if I were going to knit one thing inspired by the show, it would either be like a little skirt, like a little like frilly skirt and like, do twirls and that, or I would knit a soul egg.
Oh, that's a good idea. I was thinking of knitting I was thinking something like knitting a pink bonnet with a red ribbon going through it.
That would be very fun.
The whole like significance of those little red ribbons on her hair, becoming like the thread that ties her to Homura in the end is. And it being the gift that her mother gave her in the beginning and something that her mother recognizes even though she never existed. I thought that was, like she had a great family. She had a great, wonderful, supportive family. And at the end of the day, like they really, everyone loved her. She had, and they had reason to. She was a great girl. And in the end, she sacrificed herself because she was.
No, it was very effective. They were like, we are going to set up a character, a main character whom this storyline will rotate around. And the part about her that is extraordinary is she is
Beloved.
beloved and she is kind. And that are the two like main defining characterizations of Madoka. And you're like, oh, that's really nice. It's nice that they like set that's what they set up, and that's what makes her so special in this world where there's, you know, all these girls who are running around trying to fight these witches.
And most of the rest of the girls are not very nice. Yes.
You know what? I love when a character is slightly mean, though. I'm just like,
It's
all right.
true. It really worked, especially as a contrast.
Yes. I think my favorite character, like, for, I mean, she wasn't there for a lot of it, but like Kyoko, like, I was like, she showed up and she was like, listen, I'm just trying not to die. And if other people have to get eaten for that to happen, all right. Well, I was like, you know what? That's not very nice, but you are very entertaining, and I will watch this.
I love the fact that her habit, in every single scene you see her and she's eating something. And that's a very common thing in an anime in general. There's always one character who is always stuffing their face. But as in most things in the series, in her case, there was a reason for it, because she was starving and on the streets before she made her wish. And so she is so fixated on food and not wasting food and the having of the food. God, her, like, they all have horrible origin stories.
No,
They're all bad.
as the series goes on, I'd be like, wow, that's a little dark. And Cynthia's like, it just keeps getting darker. And I was like, okay, well. And it kept getting darker. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you are correct. It does keep getting darker.
And then you get to the or like Kyoko's origin story, and like she wished her family like luck and prosperity, and her dad like murdered everyone in the family. You're like, oh, that's great. That's not great. I can see why you're messed up. Yeah, all right.
If he went from, a really horrible place where you had nothing and you were didn't have enough to eat and just didn't have a place to live to like unimaginable riches, but then your father killed everybody. It's like, oh, okay. That would do a number on you.
Yes. So it is definitely one of those where if you walk into it thinking it's going to be a kids show, you're going to end up in real bad places real fast, because it appears like one, despite it's like in the first three episodes.
Do you know when it initially came out in 2011? Do you know if it was initially advertised or sold as like, hey, this is for adults?
Yes.
Okay. So they
Yes, it was.
that was good.
That particular producer, Aniplex, it's funny we're mentioning the art, because Aniplex is also known for that, for putting like weird art styles or alternative like visuals in their anime. But yes, for the most part, they make adult anime or like adult focused anime. That's primarily targeted towards men.
That's interesting because I mean, again, I had some notes, but like it very much felt like a series that at least I got a lot more out of from being a teenage girl. I'm like, oh yeah, like I had a lot of big feels and was like running around with like a couple of my friends, and I was like, if you don't have that experience to fall back on, I feel like it might have read a little differently.
I agree. So that's why I was very surprised when like I heard it was an Aniplex submission, but it worked and it was very popular and it was very critically acclaimed. So, good for them.
I mean, it was very effective.
So for me, obviously I had seen the story before. I understand Japanese, so I was not going to watch the dub version past the like 10 minutes I tried, or I was not
Fair.
going to sit there past for those more than those 10 minutes. So for me, it was a perfectly it was a lovely watch. It was a lovely rewatch, and it went really well with the like a very simple repetitive pattern. But I probably could have done something more complicated, but I was just,
Yeah.
it was what I had. Yeah.
And for me, the hound's tooth is color work, but it's pretty repetitive color work. So for the dubbed version, that worked pretty well. And then for the subbed version, when I was initially knitting, it was just stockinette and that worked. And then when I hit the color work portion, I was like, I'm not going to be able to do both of these at the same time. I can't look at a chart and do that. So for me, if as somebody who doesn't speak Japanese, dubbed version like worked pretty well as I would say knitting. I do think there were some times where I was probably just sitting there and like holding it in my hands and just watching the television and being like, wow, some stuff is happening to me right now. But like, Definitely a TV show that like grabs your attention.
Yes. For me at least, the one criticism I would have of it is that it was very, and this is true of most anime, probably because of licensing, it was very, very, very repetitive in its theme songs.
That's true.
You could be looking away from the TV and something would come on. You're like, no, I know exactly what's happening at this moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. There was at one point, it was very funny in the opening credits where, like, I think after Mommy died, like, Madoka started looking a lot sadder in the opening credits, and that was pretty funny.
Yeah, they did a little thing in each of the opening credit in each of the credits where whenever when something significant happened, like a new girl appeared or something like that, it would change the credit just a little bit.
Yeah, very cool. Well, we will finish up our trilogy of teenage girls having feelings next month when we watch Do Revenge, a Netflix movie. We will see you all next month. Bye.
Bye.